This is Paul McGann.
The Eighth Doctor, you're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio. Go and throw yourself under a bus.
I didn't mean to say that. He told me to say that.
This is Gallifrey Public Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of Doctor Who. We travel through classic and new episodes, explore the extended universe, and play a few games from time to time. We do discuss news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but we'll warn you before anything considered spoilers comes up. Welcome to episode 429 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where too much of a good thing can still be too much, as any seasoned ER medical professional will tell you. I'm Keir.
I'm Haley.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Julie. This week, we start by wondering what's happening with Series 13 production, but then quickly question whether it's worth knowing all, some, or perhaps none of the details.
See, one common school of thought says that with any popular program, some degree of details about progress in the casting, writing, and filming keeps fans engaged during the interim between one season and the next.
This is tricky with the BBC, and Doctor Who in particular, because they're not only notorious for long lapses between series, but the length of those lapses is nowhere near consistent.
There's the risk of saying too much and ruining the element of surprise, but, you know, particularly with the science fiction drama like this. But then that's countered by saying nothing and either risk losing the public interest or, even worse, having other outlets leak the details and losing control of the narrative.
There's clearly a need for careful marketing compromise, involving decisions about divulging cast and crew changes, episode and story development, filming and production. No one strategy is going to satisfy everyone, but the absence of a strategy is even more problematic. Isn't it?
So here's the dilemma, and it's not even an either or, because there's the whole stratus of ranges in between, right? That has to be made as a decision from the drama, BBC drama department, the marketing arm. There's probably a whole bunch of players in the mix to determine every little detail about what could or could not, should or should not, I guess. Could or could not, or should or should not? Probably should or should not.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda be shared with the public. And in what capacity? Is this something you put out in a press release? Is this something you do a big promo thing for? Is this something you allow it to carefully, you know, controlled information leak and see if it grows on its own, you know?
I weren't dropping no eaves.
Right. I weren't dropping no eaves. Right. So, but these are the kind of things that there has to be a really complicated decision process through all this. And then even within that, that decision has to be made for a whole range of potentially spoilery bits of information. So we think it's difficult on the receiving end to say, oh, grr, 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 they're not sharing enough, or, oh, la, 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 don't tell me anything.
But hey, so, I feel seen.
Right? Well, so think of all that we've been talking about, all the range of different receivers, you know, or what they really want to hear or not hear, learn or not learn. And then there's somebody who's got to make the decision about what the collective desire for that information is. I don't envy anyone who has to be in that seat, but we can only sort of work within our little microcosm here. So we take the what could be shared. And one of the biggest things that we hear about during these lapses is casting decisions. Mm-hmm. Where does everybody sit as far as wanting to know when it comes to really principal casting? We'll get to like guest stars and cameos and things like that in a second, but when it comes to principal cast changes, where are you in the want to know, don't want to know?
I like knowing who the new people are that are being added. I don't like knowing ahead of time that someone is leaving.
Okay, so you'd like to know who's coming in to fill a vacancy, but you just don't want to know when those vacancies pop into place.
Right. Well, because a lot of times like people are leaving at the end of a series anyways. So it's not a surprise that somebody new is going to be coming to join the show, whether that be as a companion or the new Doctor. But I like knowing ahead of time who that actor is so I can like go dig into their archive of work and see if I think they're good enough for the show.
I would like
to not know that people are leaving ahead of time. I feel like it takes a little impact out of the story.
Where is the sweet spot then for knowing the casting departures?
As I'm watching the episode.
On screen.
Yeah.
Okay. That you want to be surprised
right.
by.
I think I mentioned this when we discussed it, but Clara's death in Faith's The Raven, I had forgotten that we knew that she was supposed to be leaving that episode. So I was completely caught off guard when she died.
Right.
Like,
and we thought that was going to be the... Yeah, we thought it was going to be like this pump fake. Oh, you thought she was going to leave at the end of the season. Surprise, she's gone 3 episodes early. Bet you didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, that would have been, to this day, I think we still stand that could have been the perfect exit for Claire.
Yeah.
Should have been the exit.
Should have, anyway. Yes.
So, Jay, what about you as far as incoming and outgoing?
I'm kind of in the same boat with Haley. I do think that not knowing when someone is leaving the show is much more impactful. You know, just thinking back to this previous series with Ryan and Graham leaving, like, you know, we could have speculated, we could have, just discussed it, but knowing that they were going to leave it, it was just, I was waiting for it the entire time. Instead of it happening naturally and being like caught up in the emotion of it, which, I mean, it was still emotional, but it was expected. So it just, it lost some of that punch. So yeah, I agree that I want to know who is coming in, but I'd rather not know when someone is leaving until it happens.
Okay. Sounds familiar.
I guess I would say I'm also okay with people coming in because, to Haley's point, I like to be able to go and look at their history and watch some stuff to see what they've done before. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I definitely don't want to know when people are leaving. I consider that a huge spoiler for the watchability of the episode because you're kind of waiting for that last moment. Mm-hmm. And if you know it, then... it's not as surprising or as emotional because you're kind of girding your loins for it instead of just experiencing it.
Right, right. I can't remember the last time, well, Face the Raven being sort of a pump fake, but the last time that we were really caught off guard with any sort of a casting departure.
And even with Face the Raven, hadn't it leaked ahead of time or been part of publicity notes ahead of time that was going to be her last episode? And then it was, the gotcha was that she came back.
I think they attempted to do that, but it didn't stick because there at the time, I remember around that point in that series, they were having all sorts of issues with set reports and people having way too much access and visibility to what was getting filmed. So that it was just, it was very quickly dispelled that no, she's shooting way too much footage well beyond this production block to be totally done, unless they're going to be, you know, floating the corpse of Clara around for a while. This just isn't going to happen.
Which is exactly what they did.
Kind of, sort of, yeah, did. step back a little bit then, as far as maybe something that isn't quite as impactful for the final visible product, but that has to do with more of the crew, and that's directors and writers that are brought in. You know, we want to know, when are we going to see Sarah Dollard write again, or Neil Gaiman, or, you know, when are we going to see Rachel Talalay direct again?
Every episode.
Right now. Now. How's now?
I want
now.
Epic movies at every episode.
At least every premiere and finale, and they need to be two-parters.
Yeah.
But would you hold that same sort of announcement as something sacrosanct? Or would that be something that you think is a really nice, hey, this is a marketing release. This is really to get people. It doesn't change a story at all. It just changes your anticipation.
I like knowing ahead of time who writers and directors are going to be.
Agreed.
Agreed. I agree. I like knowing. Yeah. Please use that as all the marketing that you need. Just that.
that's all we want to know. Well, okay. Since we're drifting into that territory then, if it doesn't really have as much of an impact on the story, but it might allow people to make some sort of suppositions about what things are happening or where, has to do with filming locations. Whether that's broad scope or really down to the detail of people like suddenly getting on saying, they're filming in Wessex, there's a TARDIS in Wessex. Or what happened with our most recent holiday episode, where months and months prior, people knew that they had taken this closed bridge and they had set photos of pieces of Daleks on the ground. And the supposition storm kind of grew from that, of people wondering what they were going to be doing, and so on. So what do you think about filming locations?
I think that filming locations should not be part of the normal release. Obviously, it's going to get out there. People are going to see it, that kind of thing. But what do I care if they're filming in East London? Like, it could be an alien planet that just happens to look the same. They could be in an alternate dimension. I'm not close enough to be able to rush out there and see them, so it doesn't benefit me at all. Mm-hmm. So, and then you do have the people that are like, oh, they're filming in a quarry. And then you have everyone rushing out there to try and get pictures. And two, a lot of people start speculating like, oh, they're in the desert, so we're probably going to see this, that, and the other, and throwing out all kinds of, like, oh, we're going to see these, dry environment aliens come back or something. And it's way too much speculation going on based on nonsensical information.
Unless it's some sort of an iconic or unexpected location like Central Park.
But even then, like, what benefit is that going to be going into it? Like, I don't see how that benefits the story ahead of time.
Benefits the story, but it's no harm to the public knowing. You don't think that's going to be any detriment?
Not necessarily, but it does open the possibility. It's just I feel like the possibility of negative aspects of it far outweigh any potential positives, if there are any.
For me, filming locations, as Jay said, it could mean anything, that they're filming in this desert in South Africa or something like that. It doesn't really tell you anything. I think the bigger issue is that when people find out where they're filming and then show up there and they're able to see, props littered across the shooting location or something like that, that's when you start getting spoilers that maybe a lot of people, I think myself and Julie included, would rather not have. But yeah, the filming location itself, I don't think really tells you much about the story.
Right. If it's a particularly accessible filming location too, and if it's going to be a multi-day shoot, if the word starts floating around on day one, or when they start doing the public notice post-ups that they're going to be using this area for the crew, the more days they're there and the more heavily trafficked, I guess, the more opportunity for looky-loos to get in there and try and get set photos and pictures of people coming out of trailers, which goes back to our casting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's way more interesting to visit those locations after they've been there. So just go on those tours later, people.
Yeah. There's that spot in the grass that's mushed down into a square because the TARDIS was standing there for 3 weeks.
And then afterwards you can say, oh, I've been there now. And then that's fun, instead of getting involved in a place where you're not supposed to be.
I stood in the spot where PSA. This TARDIS is going to rematerialize.
Knowing ahead of time really doesn't do much for you anyway. Anyone that is a fan of old American Western movies, like, you can take them to, say, Sedona and show them. It's like, oh, well, this is where that was filmed, and this is where that was filmed. But unless you've actually seen the movie, it really doesn't stand out. And once you've watched the movie, it's like, oh, my God, I was standing there. I know that place. Mm-hmm. So knowing ahead of time that they're going to be in some location doesn't really do anything until you've witnessed it. Just
case in point. Just this evening before recording, we were watching a certain very mischievous Marvel series. And we said, oh, I know that hotel that they were filming at, because there's only one freaking hotel on the planet that looks like that when you stare up at all 25 floors above you.
Yeah, I thought it looked familiar.
Yeah,
and the carpet,
the new brown stripy carpet that is not the iconic. So, I want to back up for just a second, because I'm not sure if I hit this point specifically. There's we talked about casting when it had to do with the principal cast, right? Changes of doctors, changes of companions. But there's also things like, the cameos, the guest stars. not necessarily the return of characters like the, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so is back for one thing, or there's rumors that I saw, you know, I saw Kate Lethbridge Stewart's name on a script page that was only partially blurred and so on and so on. Mm. But if it's a matter of, oh, you know, the next season, the next series, we're going to be featuring, you know, we've landed this EastEnders star or, you know, this other sort of non-veteran talent to be just an as of yet announced role.
Oh my God, Russell Crowe is going to be in Doctor Who.
Are you not entertained?
I don't know. Is that a deal breaker for you as far as need to know, want to know?
I don't mind knowing like what actors are going to be guesting on the show. I don't want to know what role they're going to play.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. At that point, I don't want to know what they're going to play. I don't want to know which episode they're going to be in, because then again, I'm waiting for them to show up. If right. I know they're coming in the next episode and they're not in the first scene opening or the first 5 minutes, then where are they?
Right.
What are they doing? Why did they tell me that? I don't need to know.
I think they were rather adept with that just in this past series, I think, right? In the trailer, the series trailer that we got back at the beginning, when they gave us maybe about 6 seconds total of each episode, and you saw a bunch of stuff flash by, and all of a sudden you see that face, and you're like, that's that actor who played that doctor from ER, but he looks a little bit like Nikola Tesla. Ooh, where's this all going to fit in? And I spent the next couple of months just wondering, is this where they're going to work it in? Is this where they're going to work
right.
it in?
Right, and you told me that. And then when he showed up, I was like, oh, man. So, right, I don't want to know.
So that's the difference in the audience. I like getting just that tiny bit of information, and I mm-hmm. have to suss it out, whereas Julie would love to come into it absolutely cold.
Yeah.
Well, so
the danger of, like, sussing out what you think it's going to be is like you might think of something better than what they give you, and then you're just disappointed.
So never try.
I personally feel like that one is kind of it's a case by case basis. Like sometimes I don't want to know. I want to be surprised. Like holy crap, they got Mark Hamill is in Doctor Who. Holy crap, I never saw this coming. But then every now and again, it's like, oh, that guy's going to be in the next series. That's awesome. I can't wait for that. And I'm probably going to forget about it. You know? Mm-hmm. So it is like, I don't know if there's a set answer for that one, at least for me.
Okay.
I like the...
I would still like to be surprised by Mark Hamill showing up and getting that moment where you get to go, oh, and point at the screen.
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, Mark Hamill, yeah, probably one of those things. But, you know, if it's, I don't know, it's some people I would be okay with, like, it's like, oh, hey, the guy from The Thing. And
that one actor from Game of Thrones who hasn't been on Doctor Who yet.
The one, yeah.
The one left. That would be Tyrion Lannister.
I could see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So, if we're okay with knowing directors and writers, we don't want to know necessarily the cast they're going to be working with or the characters, because casting obviously driving the characters, especially if they're return characters, we don't want to know those details. What about times when they have interviews with directors, writers, showrunners, executive producers, and they discuss things like, oh, we've got some really big plans. We're going to be doing a storyline that's just going to blow your mind. We're going back to Gallifrey or something. And they let something go about the storyline or the arc that they're, you know, the Dangenda, whatever it is. That might be the exception to the rule. We don't want to know anything except what's the freaking Dangenda. But yeah, so when it comes to releasing information about where they're going to be going with the series writ large.
How close are we to the next series? That's my question. Like, are we still a year and a half out? Okay, I don't want to know. Are we within, like, the next month or two? You know, synopses on episodes? I'm okay with that going. Like, okay, we've got, you know, we've got a Dalek story. We've got the Cybermen coming back. We've got, you know, some new, you know, we've got a period piece. You know, okay. I'm okay with, like, little bits like that. if we are within a certain window, I don't know what that window is because I've never been, you know, tasked to figure that out, but it's when we're close enough, I want a little bit of information. If we're still way far out, keep it locked down.
I think the very, very broad story arcs are interesting because then you can sort of go back and see what we've seen about that before, potentially. So you can build a little bit of your knowledge base.
Okay.
But outside of that, I don't want to know, personally. I just, again, I'd rather see it happen and unfold in the storytelling as we go through the series.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't really want to know about the story. Like, if Rachel Talalay wants to say, oh, it was a delight working with Peter Dinklage in the season premiere, then that's fine. But, like, I don't want to know what his role was or what the story they were telling was.
Mm.
Yeah. There was a... We've got this great story arc.
That's and then you're going to watch it.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, you mentioned about the proximity to you know, how soon before we see it are you going to tell us anything about it? Because maybe there is a sort of a sweet spot where maybe when you're within weeks of it, you want people sort of whipped into a frenzy. So you start telling them, you know, the things about really, really high altitude, no detail stuff about the fact that we're going to be spending a lot of time off world.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, we spent a lot of last season going back into time. We're going into the distant future or what have you. Maybe that's not so bad when you start getting really close to drop day. But what about the information about the days themselves? Is there any detriment to letting us know details about the actual mechanics of the production? The season is going to start on X date. It's going to be this many episodes. And we're going to take a mid-season break because we have to leave room for Eurovision or something.
That's the only information I really want them to give me. If they gave me nothing else but, like, in December they told me it's coming back in November, that I would be happy.
Yeah, honestly, like, that kind of stuff, I don't see that spoilery at all. That is schedule. That's, you know, oh, they're releasing an episode on Christmas Day. Okay, well, I know that that's probably the Christmas special. That's the most you can get from that kind of thing.
The new series is starting in September. Good to know. I won't plan a vacation.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Then you can plan your social calendar properly and around
podcast
your...
Podcast recording block, yeah.
Yeah. And we know we're going to need to move podcasting to the weekends, and then over this holiday, I'm going nowhere.
Do the specials kind of get their own treatment, though? I mean, as far as your want to know or need to know? Because we've run into instances before where we said, we just want to know whether there is a special, but does it matter to us if we know if it's a Christmas or a New Year's, or we don't know if it's either, and all of a sudden they drop it some arbitrary date in the future, St. Swithin's Day or whatever.
I just want to know that Nick Frost is going to be on it and that it's happening. That's fine.
That's casting. You
no, no, no. I'm okay with Nick Frost, but not as
he is Saint the one Nick. Exception.
Or, well, no, I said it. I'm okay with knowing the actors who maybe are going to be appearing, but I don't want to know the role they're going to play. I don't want to know anything else about it.
Okay.
So that I can go and check out their history and maybe familiarize myself with their style, but that's it. But also, yeah, I'm okay if I don't know.
You want to whip the fans into a frenzy. You release like a little teaser. And it's just like the TARDIS spinning and the music playing and the date when you're going to get to see an episode again. That's all I need.
That's it. Yep. In fact, they shouldn't even run them in consecutive weeks. They should just air one and say, coming when we feel like it, the next episode.
No, we can't plan around that.
But would it be better to have like 2 weeks off every, like for over 4 months and getting episodes, or to have... What is
well,
it, like
that's a whole
months
other
off?
Conversation. So, what you know, what is
we've
the
had that conversation?
Yeah, what is the perfect scenario for schedule release?
At least
one
once
a week
a year?
For 52 weeks.
Yeah. At least once a year is like a goal that I would have them set.
Yeah.
Stop making me wait 2 years.
How long can a hiatus go before it's not a hiatus anymore? You ended the show and you're going to start a new one at some point.
Right. It goes from being a return from hiatus to a revival. Yeah.
Well, then you got to have a movie in those wonder years.
Okay.
And...
Fine. Great. That's a sure. Give me
when
a
cinematic the movie theaters release. Are all open again, yeah, let's do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Paul McGann wants the work. between
that's
every
what,
season
break. That's
how
they should relaunch the show, is with a Paul McGann movie.
That's it. I'm telling you. Just think about that. So between every lapse, if it's 12 months, 16 months, 18 months between in the series proper, but during that break somewhere, we get a Paul McGann film adaptation of one of the Big Finish stories.
This is the greatest idea ever.
Yeah.
Biebs, we're going to need you to sign a contract with the fans. If you go more than 13 months without giving us an episode, we get a Paul McGann movie. That's right. The contract.
So we're going to get on the horn with Mr. Briggs and Mr. Hey Gallery and get some things going here, because I think that's a bonzer idea. We've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly with the way this has been handled. Right now, we are dealing with a marketing department change that is having a bit of a struggle, because since they don't have really great fixed points on their release, because they're just starting to get back to a more flexible or back up to their original speed of turn for post-production. I believe principal filming is done, I think, but we don't know. Actually, I'm not sure that it is, because I remember seeing some set report stuff floating around within just the past couple of weeks. So there may still be a production block in there somewhere.
I am fine with mystery around all of those points. Mm-hmm.
So they can't fix a date to it. But as a result, all the stuff that's been going on right now, we're back into that vacuum of not knowing even, like we agreed upon, directors and writers other than Chris Chibnall. I don't know. So I don't know if it's being handled right now the way any of us are particularly comfortable with, not knowing dates and not knowing who and not knowing when or why or how. It's
Well, I'm pretty sure they use cameras.
You'd like to think so.
Some lights, maybe?
A boom, probably.
There could be booms.
I think there's.
I bet they have those like tall folding chair things behind the cameras.
Right. Yeah. Yes, but we don't know whose names are emblazoned on the back of those folding chairs.
Director.
Yes.
They'll just put a sweater over it. Then they don't have to put the name on it.
Precisely. Yeah. So yeah, I guess looking at it with what we do or don't know right now, which all we know is it's going to be a shorter season, right? 10 episodes instead of our anticipated 12 to 13. There will be a holiday special, but potentially specials.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering why the L got the emphasis.
I was dragging
theirs.
It because I'm not certain whether I should be putting a S in parentheses here, because that's still fuzzy.
He was buying himself time to make that decision.
Yeah. Should I change the plurality of this?
He was wondering if letting that much slip would end him up on the couch tonight.
That's true. Yeah.
He put two L's next to each other and then had to color in the middle because he only meant one. And then that's how that's pronounced.
Where I'm coming back to this is, is everybody okay with the fact that we know really next to nothing right now? You're okay.
You're
fine with
not
knowing the start date. You're fine with not knowing who's directing, who's writing. You're not bored.
I mean, I would like to know I would like to know it because I want it to be sooner rather than later. But I also, if they were to tell us again that we're going to be delayed another year plus, then that just makes me a little bit more sad. And what Jay said earlier about, is it too soon to then start sharing some of those details? So we've got a full too many months of time to try to, you know, get more and more out of the same small tidbit of information, that would also be frustrating to me. So I like our plan where we've got other things to watch and talk about, because then when we get there, I want to know when there's enough time to get something interesting, like the few points that we've talked about, so that we can go back and watch a Talalay episode if we know that she's going to be another director, or look into some character profiles if something does leak, things like that, where we can like have something interesting but not too much and not too soon.
Like if we learn that the Ice Warriors are going to be back, we can go back and take a look at where things were left off with our working knowledge of.
Right.
Yeah. If I have a little bit of time, maybe I would go back to their very first episode, because that brings some color to when you see them on the screen again. You've got a little bit of that memory, because mine is utterly garbage. So it helps for me to sometimes know those small things, again, if it's appropriate and not too soon.
You know, something that Moffat always threatened to do and never really followed through with was creating web content over the hiatus. That I would love, because you're building out the universe, you're keeping the fans engaged, but you're not spoiling what is to come. You're creating new content. But I don't think that's going to happen in this year, especially just because of the nature of like filming and the industry and the world.
Right.
But I would love more of that.
Yeah. I think we'll get there. I just don't think this is the current production team to do that. They want to stay very tight-lipped as much as they can.
I'd be down for some more Osgood journeys, like
right.
Osgood and Osgood hanging out in Osgood's apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think the thing here is that it's everyone kind of has a different threshold on what is considered spoilery. Because, like, I went through the whole process of anyone that listened to us during the lead up to the final Star Wars film remembers me being like particularly, I don't want to know anything about it going in. And like for me, I learned that while yes, I went in not knowing anything and being surprised by things that other people knew ahead of time. Once I watched the movie, it was over. It was 2 to 3 hours. I forget how long of, you know, like, complete, I'm just surprised by everything, went in and enjoyed it. But I didn't get any of that excitement leading up to it like I used to with the other films, you know? So it's not knowing little bits ahead of time really kind of robbed me of the longer enjoyment that I could have had with it. So it plays out differently with the TV show because you do have, like, it's more than just the one experience, but mm-hmm. still, it's... I want to get excited about the show when it comes on. I want to know, like, you know, the anticipation kind of builds for me. So I do like to know a little bit, but, you know, like, Julie doesn't want to know anything going into it. So it really does kind of depend on what your personal taste is.
Right. And something that we haven't sort of thrown into the mix here is that, as we mention often when we're talking about the show overall, a particular series overall, a showrunner's strategy is that they have to look at the viability and the marketability of the business as something that needs to be cultivated and continually regrown. So if you need to put things out there that are going to catch the interest of a more casual viewer or someone who's sort of sitting on the fence saying, I don't know, I've got 5 different streaming networks at my disposal, and I've got all of these, all these different things that I could invest my time and interest into. What's going to win me over on this? Oh, you've cast my favorite actor from this other thing? Oh, fantastic. Oh, you're going to be doing something that reminds me of this other genre that I really love? Okay, great. So that they have to ride that line too. It's just an added bit of an added variable to determining how much information should really be released and when. So, well,
and let's face it, when they're faced with that kind of situation, and you have the option of, like, here's a person that's likely to watch our show, but needs something ahead of time to get excited about it. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other person who's going to watch it, but doesn't want to know anything about it. Who are they going to cater to? You know, like, if you don't want to know anything about it, then it's on you to avoid it while
I
try and get
leave
these...
the room while yeah. you talk about those things at the end.
Right. Yeah. Because you know that they're going to come and we all kind of understand why they're going to get put out there. But for the discerning viewer who knows, oh, they're going to do that thing, you reserve the right to tap out.
Yeah.
Because, Jay, as you just said, they know, they... BBC Drama or you know, whoever, BBC
the
Worldwide
capital they.
Knows you personally are going to come back.
The royal they.
Yeah. I'm worried about the 3 people standing behind you who are going, eh.
Yeah.
You're going to run out of the room and you'll be back, on Saturday night at 8 p.m. to watch.
Yeah. And I respect that decision. And I know that there are reasons why marketing departments have to make those decisions and do either press releases or interesting announcements. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And I will show up for the ones that I want to see. And I will go la, la, la and run out of the room for the rest. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that I have friends and family, household members that respect most of my choices on that.
Yeah. I would think, it seems to me like, I know that it's easier to put a lot of information out there and put it upon the individual to absorb it or avoid it than to put nothing out there and have people digging and scrounging and screaming for it.
Or worst case, forgetting about you, showing up when you need them to, so then your numbers tank. So yeah, give us stuff.
Right.
But give us the right meaty, juicy stuff I just requested.
So we're going to use a color chart. So every time a piece of information is done, the promo is going to start with a red square, a yellow square, a green square. Right. Yeah. It's like the TV rating announcements. It'll have a little thing down in the corner on a scale
super
of how spoilery.
It's got the smiley winky face. Where's that on the scale?
It's like not just the ranking. It's like there's other letters above that that tell you why it's a spoiler. So it tells you like C for casting, P for plot.
Yeah. Oh man, complicated, but I love it.
Yeah. So the one that's got all the letters and all it's the just plus alphabet signs. Super.
Shut it off.
That's your preview, and I run from the room.
And Kier just shouts, earmuffs, Julie!
Funk. Or you get viewing lenses that actually just go black. As you're looking at the screen, it says, nope, you don't want to see this.
Okay, Black Mirror.
Exactly.
Perfect. You set your personal threshold, and it lets you know.
It's a bug butter beast of trawl setting on there. Can't see you. This is not spoilery, but it is, I think, a really interesting read. I won't go through all the details on it. It's maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks old article at this point, but it was an interview with one of the lead writers and coordinators behind this Time Fracture project that we've been talking about for a while.
Speaking of marketing, this is what they should have done previously when we were sort of trying to figure out what role does Time Fracture play in that larger scope of everything they were trying to do.
Right,
so if you were wondering, this answers a lot of those questions and gets you really excited to go on a trip.
Yeah, really.
To go see it when you can't really get there.
Right. This is a much larger project than I thought it was going to be. This is almost of the scale of something that like rivals a replacement for the Doctor Who Experience when it was in Cardiff, as far as just the capacity of this thing.
Yeah, and it's immersive, so it gives you a different experience. You're not just seeing stuff that was used, you're being a part of the story.
Mm-hmm. But this is definitely one of those instances where grab the link from the show news here and have a read through. It's like I said, it's a little bit longer, but it really, even in the way that the article is structured, it's explaining how every ounce of effort was put into this to really be a gift back to the people who are attending a Doctor Who immersive experience. And the reason why they were doing all the things they were doing with all the cameos that they are still to this day, just within the last 36 hours, I saw yet another, actor XYZ is reprising their role to record a little cameo segment that's going to be part of the thing. I have a feeling that the actual experience itself, because they're selling tickets already, is going to change while it's up and live.
Probably.
Which is kind of cool, because if you got your primary storyline that has to be pursued, all the stuff that's in the periphery can be dynamic to a certain degree, as long as it doesn't obstruct, your central timeline.
Well, and it sounds like there are different bits and you sort of go apart and come together depending on which storyline you end up following. Mm-hmm. So you may get something different every time you go, but you won't even know if it's new because you went left instead of right.
Right. Sure. I did see a couple people, at each time they would do one of these announcements or they'd post something, there'd be people in the comments, I don't care, stop reading the comments, but I read the comments. And there were people saying, I was looking for people that were commiserating with me saying, it really sucks that this is, as it stands right now, until they see how successful it is, it's only going to be available in the UK. I have no plans whatsoever to travel with the thing, because it might just be a behemoth to try to move around. But there were a couple of folks that were saying, oh, I couldn't believe it. It's something like $45 or something for a ticket. I'm like, you haven't been to the theater in a while. Because if 45 quid, or what that equate to, maybe like $56, $58 American, it seems much for you? Yeah, no.
Well, I think if people are trying to equate this to a theater visit, that's different. It's more like a museum visit. And so if you're trying to spin the, I don't know what kinds of museums tickets cost, things like that, but that's the cost of this production.
So take a low-end theater ticket, what you would consider to be the price tag of a reasonable, like, regional theater. Like, I'm not going to Broadway, I'm not going to the West End. And then throw a movie ticket on top of that, because you're going to be seeing a lot of, you know, like an IMAX ticket, because you're going to be seeing a lot of really, you know, large-scale film production thrown all around you, and a trip to a museum. So lock those three prices together, and you're getting all those things in something where you've got hours and hours you're allowed to wander around in this thing.
And front row tickets for all of it.
Yes.
So.
Because you're all up ins. Yep. Yeah.
Or I think they're all up ins. I'm not really sure.
It's all entwined.
Like, you, yeah. Everyone is up ins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone is in everyone else's chili.
Yeah. Safely, I'm sure.
Yes, of course. With masks.
Yes. Other protection.
They will be doing all the safety precautions too. So I don't know. Other item, we talked about this before we started recording, because this is unconfirmed, but is this goes along with our casting departure conversation back at the beginning. So, if Julie wants to walk away, instead of breathing heavily into the microphone, and I got to figure out what that's going to sound like in the editing booth.
This is a really good sigh.
Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Well. We've known that somewhere somewhere on that horizon is Jodie Whittaker's departure.
Oh, she's gonna stay forever.
Yes,
sure she is. In a jar. I don't know. But everyone wants to know: is it going to be this season? Is it going to be, you know? Are they gonna? She phrases things very carefully in her interviews. One of her more recent ones, I think, said something like, "I'm gonna do this job for as long as I can, or as long as they'll let me," kind of a thing, which is a dangerous way to phrase things when you've got a lot of fans who are all screaming about the writing, and they started with, "I'm not saying anything against Jodie's acting; it's the writing that's letting her down." But they will bash her all day long in the comments.
Stop reading the comments.
Right, stop reading the comments.
First rule of the internet: don't read the comments.
I wasn't going to give this any credence as I was seeing it getting pinged around various news sources until it started getting traction with the more reputable and respected sources like the Radio Times, because I think it originated, as far as I've tracked it back, from the Mirror, which we have a love-hate relationship with. Yeah. We love to hate them. but it's saying that she's going to finish the specials, which would mean that she wasn't lying in any of her press junkets saying that, no, I'm not leaving at the end of series 13.
Right.
Because the specials are always like episode zero of the next series, however you choose to number them. But this, she may finish out the specials as part of her regeneration arc.
That's a pretty common handoff point.
That's three seasons and out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, also using the specials as the handoff point.
It's becoming, becoming more of the standard.
It's common. It's been done.
Yeah.
It's not fresh.
Came in on a special, went out on a special.
So special.
So special.
I like it.
You know, if this is just an unfounded rumor, this is the kind of thing that spins around the internet if you don't have any marketing for a year.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah, it gives them something to chew on for a bit.
So maybe they should have, you know, like, done some of that web content so we could talk about that instead.
Right. Right, because, you know, as we said, the Mirror was talking about this, I want to say like a month or so ago, we saw it in the Mirror for the first time. And like, with nothing else to report, other outlets are running it now.
And that's like we were saying when we were originally talking about this, is that this is the Radio Times reporting on this, but they're crediting the Mirror as being the ones to start the story. So it's like, it's not even coming from it's not even coming from a reputable source. It's coming from the Mirror. So,
right.
yeah.
They have to have, either they're re-reporting it because they feel they're missing out if they don't share, or they've confirmed second source kind of thing, like, yeah, this is the truth, and we don't want to miss out. So,
yeah.
Or, I don't, or they've got nothing else and they wanted a Doctor Who story and it's legit the only thing to go on.
Yeah, because at this point, yeah, the other Doctor Who news that's just been circulating is pretty much just the same story, just getting uglier and uglier and uglier.
Yeah.
I will note, because it is referenced in this Radio Times rehash of the Mirror originating rumor, unconfirmed detail.
If you don't want spoilers, skip ahead.
Right. So jump 15 seconds ahead, because as we stated in the conversation just a little earlier, this references the fact that there may be multiple specials at the end of a short season, 10-episode season with potentially multiple specials.
No parentheses on that S.
No. That's why I had specialized earlier.
So, which that would be exciting news, but they're still pretty far off. So, I might be a bit bummed, but we'll get there.
My concern is that they are saying that because they're going to do something where they'll do their sort of winter holiday special, and then there'll be another real long break, and then they'll like smack something in the spring and say, "We'll see you in another year and a half. Bye."
Yeah.
We gave you an Easter special to tide you over. Bye. Mm-hmm.
They had best not do like New Year's and then the next Christmas again.
There's your two.
Oh, jeez.
It's been done.
I know it's been done. I just
miserable.
Less than 30 minutes ago, I said, I don't like it when they do that, so they need to respect me.
Julie,
there's a very small petulant frenzy going on over the in front of this microphone.
Julie's willing to let you do your spoilery marketing, but right. Respect her on this.
This is the trade-off.
This far and no farther.
Tiny fist shake. That's what you get.
Well, next week we are going to be coming back with our Torchwood rewatch. We are up to day 2 of Children of Earth. So,
yep.
Yeah, get your comfort blankie, get your, you know, your therapy dog, whatever you need.
Get your flagon of drinks. Yep.
That's what's keeping me going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been episode 429 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, I'm going to hold on to it. I don't want to spoil anything.
Ah. And this is Kier saying, check the show notes because I will share what Jay was going to say.
This is Julie saying, I already saw him write it. I know what it's going to say.
And this is Haley saying, spoilers.
We'll see you next week.
Allons-y.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Want to keep the conversation going? You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or just send us a good old-fashioned email to feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. You can also give us a phone call at 754-225-5477. That's 754-CALL-GPR, and you may hear your voice on a future episode of the show. Everything's got to end sometime, otherwise nothing would ever get started. Join us next week for a brand new episode.
Jacob Hansen. Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2021. We'll see you next week.